Salaam. And Shaykh Fawzan mentioned two meanings for the meaning of Salaam. That it carries the meaning that when you give the greeting of Salaam to your Muslim brother, then you are making dua for him. The first meaning that you are making dua for him, supplication for him, for peace and security, for Salama. And secondly, second meaning is that As-Salam is from the names of Allah. So you are invoking the name of Allah be upon him. May the name of Allah be upon you. Carrying the meaning of meaning may Allah preserve you and protect you. And that this greeting, Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, this greeting, it produces love between the Muslims. That when a Muslim meets his brother and gives the greeting of Salaam, it increases love between them. And the opposite is the case. If you meet your Muslim brother and he doesn't greet you with salam, he ignores you and doesn't greet you, then it produces bad feeling. So that should be avoided, and rather you should greet your Muslim brother with the greeting of salam. And as for the issue of greeting with the hand, then you should, as Shaykh Fawzan made clear in the explanation, you don't greet with the hand. Making greetings with the hand, making a wave of the hand and the like, this is from the greetings of the people of the book. But rather, it's only applied if a Muslim is far away and he can't audibly hear your greeting of salam, then you still give him the audible greeting of salam, but you indicate with your hand to show that you're giving the salam. I mean, if he's far, far away, he can't hear what you've said. But you're indicating, you're giving the greeting of salam upon your tongue, and indicate with your hand that you've given it to him, so that he can reply. As for the point which followed that, point number 128, then it was with regard to abandoning the Jumu'ah prayers and the Jama'ah prayers in the mosque. And that doing so is an innovation. That not praying behind certain imams, and therefore giving up on the Jumu'ah prayers and the congregational prayers, because you don't want to pray behind a certain imam, as the Khawarij and the like, they say it's not correct to pray behind this imam here, then this is a way of the people of innovation. And the Shaykh Fawzan said, rather the obligation, it's an obligation to pray the Jumu'ah prayer and the Jama'ah prayers in congregation in the mosque. And an evidence for that he mentioned was the famous hadith, the blind man. And the blind man came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked for concession. He mentioned the difficulties that lay between him and the mosque, and he asked for concession to be allowed to pray at home. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Do you hear the call?" So he said, "Yes." So he said, "Then respond." So he didn't allow him a concession there. Rather, he told him to respond. To the extent that, as the Sheikh mentioned, the companions would come, even one who was sick and ill and couldn't walk by himself, he would still come to the congregation, being brought between two men. Two men, one each side, would hold him and bring him along until they put him in the row. And likewise, keeping away from the congregation has been mentioned as being a sign of hypocrisy, as occurs in the hadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the opposite, Allah has borne witness to the iman of those who frequent the mosques, in the ayah that was quoted. So Shaykh Fawzan said, so don't listen to those people who encourage laxity with regard to the congregational prayer in the mosques. Those who say, and they even bring scholars' sayings, and say, look, here are the sayings of scholars listed who don't say it's an obligation. Shaykh said, don't listen to those people who try and make you lax about attending the congregation. For indeed, scholars' sayings can be right, and they can be wrong. And what's upon us is that we are obligated to follow the proof, not to follow the sayings of men. Then the final section was that which Shaykh Fawzan made clear in it, that which is an excuse to avoid the congregation, to not come to the congregation, then it is illness which actually prevents you, or an illness that if you come out, come to the mosque, the illness will get worse, then that's an excuse. Or likewise, fear. And the Sheikh said, not just cowardice, like pretend or imaginary fear, but the confirmed fear. fear of wild animals upon the way, or an enemy who will attack you, then that likewise is an excuse. But as for one who is in a condition of safety and security, then there is no excuse for him not to come to congregation. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he followed that with what comes here in volume 2 on page 174, point number 129 and point number 130, that Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَمَنْ صَلَّى خَلْفَ إِمَامٍ فَلَمْ يَقْتَدِ بِهِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ بِالْيَدِ وَاللِّسَانِ وَالْقَلْبِ بِلَا سَيْفِ. So the two points are brought together here, point 129 and 130, with the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and whoever prays behind an imam and does not follow him, then there is no prayer for him. He prays behind the imam, but he's not actually following that imam. He's doing his own prayer separately. So he said, and whoever prays behind an imam and does not follow him, then there is no prayer for him. And commanding the good and forbidding the evil are to be done with the hand, the tongue, and the heart, not with the sword. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَمَنْ صَلَّى خَلْفَ إِمَامٍ فَلَمْ يَقْتَدِ بِهِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. And whoever prays behind an imam but does not follow him, then there is no prayer for him. Shaykh Fawzan said, because this is contrary to the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. Indeed, the imam is appointed to be followed. As I mentioned in the footnote, the hadith reported by al-Bukhari, and it should be hadith number 378, and reported by Muslim as hadith 411 from a hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Fawzan said, whereas now the people of misguidance and the people of takfir, those who declare Muslims guilty of sin to be disbelievers, he said, whereas now the people of misguidance and the people of takfir, they do not pray along with the Muslims. And if they do pray, then they are only intending that they are praying individually. I mean, either they don't pray along with the congregation of the Muslims, they don't pray with them at all, they pray on their own, separately. Or if they do pray along with the congregation of the Muslims, then what they're intending in their hearts is not to pray along with the congregation, they're intending that we're praying on our own. It's our own prayer, not following this congregation. So the Shaykh said, whereas now the people of misguidance and the people of takfir, they do not pray along with the Muslims. And if they do pray, then they are intending that they are praying individually. This is from the newly introduced innovations. So you should pray along with the Muslims. And you should have good thoughts about the Muslims. So do not have evil suspicions about the imams of the mosques. Then he said, he's saying, wal amru bil ma'rufi wal nahyu anil munkar bil yadi wal lisani wal qalbi bila sayf. And commanding the good and forbidding the evil are to be done with the hand, the tongue, and the heart, without the sword, not with the sword. Shaykh Fawzan said, an explanation of the obligation of commanding the good and forbidding the evil has proceeded, and that it is in accordance with ability. As I mentioned in the footnote, this proceeded on page 161. We had it a short while ago, It was under point number 126, point 126. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, however, his saying, bila saif, not with the sword, means it is not permissible to utilize the sword against the ruler and to say, this is a case of commanding the good and forbidding the evil. This is the position of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who rebel against the ruler. And they say, the ruler is a sinner. And this is a case of criticizing the evil. And they rebel against the ruler, use the weapons against him, use the sword against him. And to justify what they're doing, they say this is commanding good, the good, and forbidding the evil. Sheikh Fawzan said, but this itself is an evil. This thing that they're doing, this itself is an evil. Because rebelling against the person in authority is an evil itself. Because it is disobedience to the messenger. And because of the tremendous harms which result from it, with regard to shedding of blood, and destruction of security, and splitting of unity. Tremendous evils, which are worse than having patience with his sin, and with his acts of disobedience. Because his sin, and his act of disobedience, its harm is upon him only. But as for rebelling against him with the sword, then this, its evil will be upon the Muslims. And this is the position of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, I mean doing so. Rebelling against the ruler with the sword, this is the position of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. For indeed, the usul, the fundamental principles of the Mu'tazila are, and then Sheikh Fawzan lists the five fundamental principles of the position of the Mu'tazila, this deviant sect, the Mu'tazila. He said, so the fundamental principles of the Mu'tazila are, firstly, and as we will see what Sheikh Fawzan does, he brings the title that they use for each point, which sounds like something good, but then he explains what they actually mean by it, which is not something good. So he said, firstly, the fundamental principles of the Mu'tazila are, firstly, al-amru bil-ma'ruf wa-nahyu anil-munkar, commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Then the Sheikh said, and they intend by that rebelling against those in authority of affairs. They say, this is a part of commanding the good and forbidding the evil. So you see what they say, the first principle is commanding the good and forbidding the evil. But they don't mean the correct definition, rather what they mean is rebelling against rulers. Then he brings a second principle. He said, secondly, at-tawheed, and its meaning with them, the Mu'tazila. And its meaning is negation of the names and attributes. Because affirming the names and attributes is shirk in their view. In the second principle of the Mu'tazila, they call it Tawheed, and what they mean by it is denying all of Allah's names and attributes. Because they say to affirm them is shirk. And he said, thirdly, al-adl, justice. And its meaning is to negate al-qadr, is to negate and deny pre-decree. They say, if Allah were to punish the people, when it was He who had pre-decreed the sin for them, then this would be oppression of them. So the third principle, they call it justice. And what they mean by that is denying Allah's pre-decree. Because they say, if Allah punished people, and it was the fact that He pre-decreed the sin that they committed, that it would, then punishing them would be oppressing them. So therefore they deny the pre-decree. And they call this al-adl, justice. And he said, fourthly, al-manzila bayn al-manzilatayn, the station in between two levels. The level in between two levels, or the station in between two stations, something like that. Sheikh said, and it is that the person who is guilty of a major sin, it cannot be said about him that he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. And it cannot be said about him that he is a Muslim. Rather, he is in a manzila bayn al-manzilatayn. He is in a position or a station between the two positions, the two stations. This is what they're saying. I mean, we can't say he's a kafir, but we can't say he's a Muslim either. So he's in between, this in between, the in between level here they've invented. And the Sheikh mentions, fifthly, their fifth principle, infadhul wa'id, enforcement of the textual threats. A statement that wherever we find a textual threat, whoever does such and such, then there will be fire upon him, punishment. It has to occur. It must occur. So as the Sheikh said, infadhul wa'id, enforcement of the textual threats. He said, and it is to declare the one who is guilty of major sin, which is less than shirk, to be a disbeliever. In other words, in the hereafter, they hold that he will be in the fire forever. That's where Sheikh Wazan ends explanation of these two points. On this same point, Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi, Hafizahullah, he said, with regard to the point about not using the sword, then he mentioned that as for use of the hand, then a person in authority, or a person put in a position of authority, or a person within in his house, he can use his hand to stop the evil. But as for the sword, then that is from the right of the ruler. Use of the sword is from the right of the ruler, the one who can compel the people upon the truth. And then he said, as for the sword, then it is for the ruler, and it is not for you. And therefore we say to some of those people who ask for a verdict, or who ask a question about the issue of fighting jihad in some countries, where there is deviation away from the correct manhaj, and where judgment and rule is by other than what Allah sent down, and is a person allowed in that case to come and to kill whoever he wishes, and to establish the had, the prescribed punishment, upon whomever he wishes, when there is no imam, no ruler there, who establishes Allah's prescribed punishments? So can he do so in a country where the prescribed punishments, Islamic law, is not applied? Can the individual take that upon himself and apply it? The Sheikh said in response, he cannot do that. He does not have that right. Allah does not put a burden upon any soul except with what it can bear. Because this will not produce except fitan, trials and tribulations. Even if you are in a land where Allah's legislation is not established, then you do not have the right to yourself bring about its establishment, or apply it, or to implement the prescribed punishments forcefully, by force. Because force is not for you. Force is for the ruler, and you are not a ruler. Rather, what is upon you is to deal with yourself and your family and your own people, and to give advice to your brother Muslims. in the well-known ways of giving advice. As for the next point that comes, point number 131, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْمَسْتُورُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَنْ لَا يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ رِيبَةٌ. And the blameless one from the Muslims is the one from whom nothing suspicious becomes apparent. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, his saying, وَالْمَسْتُورُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَنْ لَا يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ رِيبَةٌ. And the blameless one from the Muslims is the one from whom nothing suspicious becomes apparent. He said, the asl, the basic principle, the default status. So the asl, the basic principle with regard to the Muslim is adala, is uprightness. And you should not have evil suspicions about your brother Muslim. Allah the Most High said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th Surah, Ayah 12, with the explanation, O you who believe, keep away from much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicion is a sin. And do not spy. And do not backbite each other. Sheikh Fawzan said, and he, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, beware of suspicion. For indeed suspicion is the most untrue speech. In the footnote, they mention this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, and it should be hadith 5143, and reported by Muslim, it's hadith 2563 from a hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Beware of suspicion, for indeed, suspicion is the most untrue speech. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, speech which occurs in the person's own mind. And seek refuge with Allah. And have good thoughts about your brother Muslims. So if it is confirmed to you that this Muslim, there is a point requiring correction about him, then you should advise him secretly and cover up his fault. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. But the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and whoever covers up the fault of a Muslim, then Allah will cover up his faults in this world and in the hereafter. As they say in the footnote reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and it should be hadith 2442, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2580, from a hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, and do not expose him, and make his affair open in gatherings. Rather, it is upon you to advise him secretly between yourself and him, along with concealing his fault. Then, that's where Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhullah, ends explanation of this point. As for Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said on this point, he's saying, وَالْمَسْتُورُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَنْ لَمْ يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ رِيبَ مَنْ لَمْ يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ رِيبَ. And the blameless one from Muslims is the one from whom nothing suspicious, nothing bringing about valid suspicion occurs, or is apparent. He said, the meaning of a riba which is that which causes a doubt. He said the meaning of riba is that he does an action which has a clear possibility. He does an action which has a clear possibility, or involves or involves a clear factor which points towards its being something forbidden. And Allah is the one who grants success. As for the next point, point number 123, that will take as the final point today, inshallah, or point number 132, the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, وَكُلُّ عِلْمٍ إِدَّعَاهُ الْإِبَادُ مِنْ عِلْمِ الْبَاطِنِ لَمْ يُوجَدْ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فَهُوَ بِدْعَةٌ وَضَلَالَةٌ ولا ينبغي لأحد أن يعمل به ولا يدعو إليه. And every knowledge which worshippers claim to be from hidden inner knowledge, from hidden inner knowledge, ilm al-batin, and every knowledge which worshippers claim to be from hidden inner knowledge, ilm al-batin, which is not found in the book and the sunnah, then it is innovation and misguidance. It is not to be acted upon by anyone, nor called to. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, ilm al-batin, hidden inner knowledge, is what is with the batiniyya, this deviant sect, the batiniyya, from the Ismailis, and other than them, those who say that the texts, the nusus, I mean the texts of the book and the sunnah, have a zahir and a batin, have an outward apparent meaning and a batin, an inner meaning. And that the batin, the inner hidden meaning, is not known except to their elite people. As for the dhahir, as for the apparent meaning, then that is with the common folk. He said, they say, what is meant by the prayer, he gives, Shaykh al-Fawzan gives some examples of what this, what they claim is hidden knowledge that they possess. He said, they say that what is meant by the salah, the prayer, is dua, to make supplication. So whoever makes supplication, then he has performed the prayer. And it doesn't mean the five daily prayers and the optional prayers. He said, and they say, what is meant by zakat is to cleanse the soul and to purify the soul. And it does not mean the zakat of the wealth. And they say, what is meant by siyam, fasting, is to conceal their secrets and their madhab. And therefore they are called secret societies. And they say that Hajj means going to their sheikhs, and it doesn't mean going to the house of Allah to perform Hajj and Umrah. He said, his saying, وَهِيَ بِدْعَةٌ وَضَلَالَةٌ, and it is innovation and misguidance. Meaning, the saying that there is ilm al-batin, that there is hidden inner knowledge, is an innovation in the religion and is misguidance away from the truth. And knowledge, ilm, does not come about except through studying with the wise scholars who are firmly grounded in knowledge. Al-ulama al-rabbaniyin. Knowledge does not come about except through studying with the wise scholars who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And therefore Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ قَاتِلٌ وَشِفَاؤُهُ أَمْرَانِ فِي التَّرْكِيبِ مُتَّفِقَانِ نَصٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ مِنْ سُنَّةٍ وَطَبِيبُ ذَاكَ الْعَالِمُ الرَّبَّانِ. And as I mentioned in the footnote, these are two lines from the Al-Kafiyatu al-Shafiyah, Intisar al-Firqatu al-Najiyah. the lines of poetry ending in noon of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, with the meaning, the approximate meaning, and ignorance is a fatal ailment, and its cure lies in two matters which come together in agreement. A text from the Qur'an or from the Sunnah, and the physician who applies it, who is the Rabbani scholar, the scholar, the wise scholar, who is firmly grounded in knowledge. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is ilm, this is knowledge. Knowledge is not through personal tastes, through dhuq, and through al-ilham, through individual inspiration. Nor ilm al-batin, hidden inner knowledge, which the batinis have. Rather, knowledge is just what came from Allah and His Messenger. And that which the companions of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said. This is knowledge, ilm. And whatever lies outside that, then it is jahl, ignorance, and dhalal, misguidance. And it is not knowledge, nor is it guidance. Then Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, he's saying, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِهِ وَلَا يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ. And it is not correct for anyone to act upon it, nor to call to it. Shaykh Fawzan said, rather it is obligatory to beware of that, for it is from the evil promptings of the Sufis and the evil sayings of the Sufis, those who hold that knowledge, ilm, is not what is in the book and the Sunnah, but rather that is just for the common folk and for those people who do not have awareness. And they call this ilm al-sharia, the knowledge of legislation. But as for the arifun, those who have true awareness of Allah, then they are the people of ilm al-haqiqah, the knowledge of true reality. And this is the same of the Sufis. The knowledge contained in the book and the Sunnah, they don't call that true knowledge. They say that's just knowledge for the common folk, those who don't have true awareness. But those who have true awareness, their people, their sheikhs, Sufi sheikhs, and they claim that they have the true knowledge, which is the true reality. That's where Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, ends that point. As for Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, then he said briefly on this point, I say this sentence contains a refutation of the Sufis, those who claim that their hearts receive ilhamat, inspirations, from Allah the Perfect and Most High. And they count that as being wahi, as being revelation. They count this ilham that they claim to receive, they count it as being revelation. So one of them says, Haddathani qalbi an Rabbi, my heart has narrated to me from my Lord. Sheikh Ahmad said, and that is not except from the shayateen, from the devils who are playing with him, and who give him the false idea that that is from the karamat, these miraculous things which are given as an honour to the righteous people. And it is nothing except the playing of Satan and his misguiding them. And whoever that occurs from, and it is found in the Sufis a great deal, then he is a mubtadi', an innovator, dhal, astray. And Allah is the one who grants success. And finally on this point, then likewise Sheikh Salih al-Sahimi, hafidhullah, he said, the saying of the author here, that this action, I mean this claim that there is ilm al-batin, hidden knowledge for the elite, he said this saying of the author here, that this action is a bid'ah, an innovation, and that the person of it is an innovator. This is not sufficient. Rather, those who say that there is a thing here which is ilmul batin, this hidden inner knowledge, and ilmul zahir, an apparent knowledge, this same, what is its ruling? It is kufr, it is disbelief. It takes the person outside of Islam. It exits the person who holds it from Islam. This knowledge of Ibn al-Arabi, and Ibn Sab'een, and Ibn al-Faris, and Ibn Sina, Avicenna as they call him, and al-Farabi, and al-Hallaj, this knowledge of theirs is kufr, is disbelief. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. As for the Aqidah lesson, the Sharh al-Sunnah, then the next lesson will be after Ramadan, inshaAllah. The next one, Monday lesson, the next one will be after Ramadan, inshaAllah.